Welcome to another message from God's Word. We're in Matthew, the 24th chapter, and by the way, Matthew, the 24th chapter, is talking about the return of Christ. The return of Christ. We finished in 24:38 in our last message, and it says, the second coming of the Son of Man is like that in the days of Noah. They were eating, they were drinking, they were giving marriage, they were marrying, and doing all the things that people do every day in life. I mean, there is, in your life, who got married last week, or who got married last month, or who's getting married next month? That's what we're thinking about. We're thinking about banquets, we're thinking about going out to dinner, we're thinking about what we're going to drink when we're hot in the sun, and etc. That's what we do. That's everyday life. Now, Noah's day is a type. The types in Noah's day represent things during and after the church age. The 120 years that it took to build the ark is a type of the church age. The judgment of the flood is a type of the tribulation period, and the ark is a type of the rapture. Now let's go on a little bit further in 24:39. And the coming of Christ is imminent. The word imminent means threatening to happen at any time. Jesus gives us a half a dozen parables to emphasize this very point that the coming of Christ is imminent. Now, if we know where the middle of the tribulation period is, it's imminent because we don't know what's going to happen. But we know when the beginning of the tribulation period it starts is when the church is raptured and all the saved are raptured. We know when the middle of the tribulation period, that's when the Antichrist stands in the temple in Jerusalem and says that he is God. We know when that is, and we know that that 3.5 years from that very point is the very last part of it. So, maybe it could probably be, it very unlikely is the midweek tribulation rapture. The most probable is at the beginning or at the end of the church age is the rapture, and then the tribulation period comes. As far as I can see from the Word of God, the end of the week rapture is not possible for many, many reasons. First of all, you know when that's coming. It's not imminent. 3.5 years from this point right to here, that's when the end of the tribulation period comes. Also, during the tribulation period, 5 out of every 6 people in the world are going to be killed. 2 out of every 3 Jews are going to die. The world is going to be very much depopulated. Now, in the tribulation period, or at the end of the tribulation period, there will be no people that will go into the millennial reign of Christ that are not saved. They will all be saved. So, if you had a rapture at the end of the tribulation period, who's going to go into the millennium? Epites Geis. Who's going to El Haaretz? Who is going to live upon this earth? If all the saved are raptured. But if the saved were raptured at the middle of the tribulation period or at the beginning of the tribulation period, you got people that can go into the millennium. But the post-tribulation rapture, as far as I can tell, is not even possible. Now, Jesus gives us a half a dozen parables to emphasize the very point that his coming is imminent. The porter, the master of the house, the faithful servant and evil servants, 10 virgins, the talents, and the sheep and the goats. These are all parables that tell us about the imminent return of Christ. The imminent return, it means it could happen at any time. Now let's read this from the Greek language, and then we'll go into the and translate it and tell us a little bit about the words. And then we're going to read from the Amplified Bible. Kai uk Egnoson heos eltain ho kata klesimos kai erain apontes utos este kai he perusia tu huiu tu anthropu. And not they knew. Who is they? Not the people knew that were in the days of Noah. Now Noah told them that the judgment was coming. We know that Methuselah was named to prophesy that when he died, that the end shall come. When he's dead, it shall come to pass. How long did Methuselah live? 969 years. These people had been warned at least 969 years. Now, how long did Enoch preach? Enoch preached 300 years. So during that time, we have at least 1,000 years of warning. The church age, we have given the world 2,000 years of warning that the Lord is going to come back. And not they knew until it came the flood, the cataclysmos. Then we get our word cataclysm from that. And it took all, just as it shall be also the coming of the presence of the Son of Man. His parousia coming. His parousia coming is a coming what we call the rapture, where he comes for his people. And the Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise before the living ones. I think the reason why the dead in Christ shall rise before the living ones is because that the living ones will get to see the resurrection. They will witness the resurrection. Now the rapture, this is a sign for Israel, not the churches, for they shall be taken. The rapture is a sign for Israel, the nation Israel, national Israel. Not the churches, because the church, the true believers are gone. All the true saved are gone. All of those in true churches and all of those in churches that preach enough gospel for people to be saved, all the saved shall be raptured and the churches shall be raptured. Tote Dio Esonte Ento Agro Ace Ara la bonete kai es afiete. And then two shall be in the field. We get a word agriculture from this, agro. In the field. One, he shall be taken. He shall be received up beside. It says to beside received. In other words, he's going to be caused to be raptured. And one, he is left behind. He is caused to be left behind. Now we have the parable of the workers. The people working in the fields. The people working in their jobs. All of a sudden one day, in a workplace, say you're working for General Motors, wherever they are building cars now, or Ford Motor Company. All of a sudden, part of the assembly line is gone. Zip, it's gone. One shall be taken and one shall be left. Now there may be one taken and five left, who knows? But the sum of that, the place, the workplace shall be depopulated. 12 and verse 41. Dio alethusen en to milo mia paralambenete kai mia afiete. Now we have another, we have two women. Now women are working. And two women are grinding, alethusen, or alethuse, that is. They are grinding. They are working in a mill. Now women do have jobs in the world, we know that. Today a woman might be a teacher. A woman might be working in a bank. A woman might be working in a grocery store or whatever, in any place, a printing shop. And all of a sudden, two women are working together in the mill, the milo, and one, she is taken. And one, she is left behind. One, she is taken, one left behind. We're talking about the rapture. The rapture is the imminent return of Christ for his people. Now, when the rapture takes place, we know that the tribulation period is beginning. We know from that period of time, for 3.5 years, in the middle of that tribulation period, there's going to be a great event. The great event of the false Messiah, or the Antichrist, standing in the temple in Jerusalem. We know. The Bible says that there will be an Antichrist, there will be a false prophet, and there will be a beast. In Islamic eschatology, they have a Messiah, so to speak, a Mahdi, and he's going to do everything opposite of what the one in the Bible is talking about, the good Messiah. The good Messiah is going to come and rapture his people, and then he's going to leave the world, and Satan, he's going to turn Satan loose on the world. There will be demons and fallen angels turn loose on this world during that period of time, especially in the last 3.5 years. Now, verse number 42, it says, Gregorete un hote uk oedate poia hamera ho kyrios himon erketai. You watch. Now, our name Gregory comes from that, Gregorio, or Gregory. Gregorio is the root of this. You watch. You all watch. Therefore, because not you know in what day the Lord of you he shall come. You don't know when the rapture is going to take place. You know after the rapture takes place, you know when the middle of the tribulation period will be. That's 3.5 years later. You know when the end of the tribulation shall be, because that is 3.5 years after that, 7 years in all. So we know when that takes place, and we know when that takes place, but we don't know when the Lord shall come and seize up, rapture up, snatch away his people. Snatch away his people. Verse number 43 now. Ekaino de genoske te hote e de ho oiko dobestes. This word oiko despotes. Poie philake ha kleptes. Erkete eg gregoresen. An kai uk an asen. Dio rikthene tain oikion auto. And you know that if he knew the housemaster, look at that word oikodopes, dopestes, the despotes, the housemaster, the master of the house, the house ruler, in what? Watch. Now this word philake, there are four watches of the night. Four watches of the night. He didn't, if he knew what watch the thief was coming, thieves usually come at nighttime. Thieves like to be clothed in darkness. They like to be clothed in darkness. More crimes are committed at nighttime than they are in the broad daylight. I listened to a message a long time ago by Vance Havner, Getting Used to Darkness, Getting Used to the Darkness. We talked about when we go into restaurants today, that we go in there now. I'm going to tell you this, I'm almost from that generation. Almost from that generation. I was born in the first half of the 20th century, and I had a hard time. I was raised by old people. My mother didn't raise me. I was raised by old people, and the old people lived like they did in the early 1900s and the late 1800s. I had a hard time adjusting to the 20th century, and now it's the 21st century, and I'm in the second decade of the 21st century, and I'm just not having a good time here. This is really a problem, the way the world is today. You go into restaurants, and they're like bars, they're dark. You can't read your menu. When you get your food, as Vance Havner says, you eat your food by faith, not by sight. Because you can't see it. I like to see my food. Now, today, one wonderful thing is you've got these cell phones, and you can turn the light on it, and you can see your food a little bit every now and then. That's good. You can read your menu with that light. You go into places and it's dark. They say it has ambience. I don't like eating in a cave either. I like to have something, a candle at the table or something, or a kerosene lantern where you can see what you're eating. There might be a bug fly on your food or crawl in there. Went to Denny's one time out there in the middle of the desert, right there by Four Corners, and I ordered a chef salad. I used to love to eat chef salad before they did all this cancer stuff to me. I can't eat that now. I can't digest the food. But I went into this Denny's restaurant, and they gave me this big, beautiful salad. I stuck my fork in it and put the lettuce in my mouth, and I was eating grit and sand. Mud. Then here come a worm crawling around. Out of there going, inchworm going around. I am thankful that I had light, because I opened that up and I saw this big baseball-sized gob of mud in there. I called that waitress over and says, "I'm not in the dark here, ma'am." You see this worm crawling around doing push-ups on my food? And look at all this mud in my food. I said, "You can have this back. I'm leaving. I'm gone. I don't even want to give them another chance." If the housemaster knew what hour of the night that the thief was coming, the kleptes. This is the word. Kleptomania comes from that word. Darkness. The thieves come in the darkness of the night. Now the Lord is going to come, and we don't know what hour he's coming. Let's look and see what it says about our Lord's return. In what hour the thief, he is coming, he would have watched, and not he would have allowed to dig through the house of him. Now, today, we have very few adobe houses. But now, in the period of time that it's talking about here, the thief would come and he would get into the backside of the house and he would dig through the wall. Dig through the wall. Take a little hammer or pick or something and dig through the wall and get in there. And go into the treasure room. In your house, there is probably a treasure room. You might have a safe in that room or something, but you have a room where your most valuables are. Most people keep their most valuables in a safe. So there is a place in your house that you have the most valuables. Now, the thief would come in and he would go into that room where the most valuable things were and try to steal. And he would dig through the wall of the house. Now, back in this period of time, they did not, they talk about Jesus being a carpenter. Well, I don't think he was a carpenter at all. Carpenters had a very limited occupation because all they might have done is make plows, part of the plow, the wooden handles. They made handles for things, but they did not build houses out of wood. They didn't have any 2x4 or 2x6 walls. Everything was built out of stone and mud. And concrete sometimes. Dig through the house. The house that had adobe walls. which was chipped, even dug through, but a thief could come by your house and dig a little bit. Next day, come by and dig a little bit more. Next time, come dig a little more until he could just break in there, and then he would break through the wall. Usually on the inside of the walls were covered by lime and whatever. That's the way prisoners escape out of prison. That's how sometimes in the concentration camps in World War II that the prisoners escaped, by digging tunnels and digging out. The roofs were also dug through at that time. So the thieves could come through the roof and they could come through the walls. 2444. Dio tutu kai hemes. Geneste etoimoi, hote he u docete, hora ha, ho that is, wheels, tooth, anthropu, erkete. Because this also ye need to become ready. Because in which not ye think that hour, the Son of Man he comes. The Son of Man he comes of his own volition. That's the middle voice there. Why should we, because of this reason, I want you to be ready and become ready, because you do not know, you do not think, you do not ponder on what hour the Son of Man comes. What are you doing right now? Wherever you are, what are you doing? Are you driving to work? As Donald is probably listening to us in Greenwar and Wales, or Nancy, maybe listening at her computer. What are you doing? Randy in Texas, what are you doing right now? Are you listening to me as you're working? Are you out there in Texas digging up, running an excavator as you work and listen? What are you doing? What were you doing this time yesterday? What were you doing this morning at 8 a.m.? What were you doing last night at 8 p.m.? What were you doing? Is there anything you were doing that you would be ashamed for the Lord to come at that very time? At that very moment? What were you doing? We're going to talk about the faithful and unfaithful servant, another type, another metaphor, another simile of the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And remember, the imminent return, the only time the imminent return can be is at the beginning of the tribulation period, the end of the church age. Because we don't know when that ends. We know when the middle of the week is. We know when the post or the end of the tribulation period is. But we don't know when to begin. We don't know the end or the beginning of it, because that is what we call imminent, threatening to happen at any time. Tis ora estin ho pistos, doulos kai phron nemos. Hon kara stethe, ho kyrios epites oiketes auto tu dune autois tain trophane. In Cairo. And then it is the faithful slave. That slave there is bought and paid for slave. What are you a bought and paid for slave of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you his servant? Are you his, is he your master? I am glad to say that Jesus Christ owns me. I am a slave. I remember about 5 or 10 years ago, the Southern Baptist literature came out and we're talking over this word doulos. And a lot of people just did not like to think that they were a slave. They did not want to think that they're slaves. Anti-slavery, you know. But I am glad to say that I am a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ for you. The faithful slave. Now, a faithful slave is a whole lot better than an unfaithful slave. Onesimus in the New Testament was an unfaithful slave, and Paul wrote a letter to Philemon about it and said that Onesimus meant useful, and yet he wasn't useful. But now, once he ran away, and Paul talked to him, and he was born again and saved, and asked the Lord to forgive him of his sins, including stealing himself. And Paul sent him back to Philemon and said, "Now, I want you to know this, that when this boy left, he was unfaithful. But when he come back, he's going to be faithful. But I know one thing, Philemon, that you are going to be more faithful than all, because he's no longer your slave now. He's your brother." All of that uproar in the Southern Baptist churches about not wanting to be a slave. I want to be the slave. I'm glad to be the Lord's slave, because I know that he is my master. I know that I am his. The faithful slave, I want to be a faithful slave. And phronismos, mindful and prudent, with a lot of good horse sense. That's what the word framed comes from. Whom they appointed and placed the master over the household of him. And to give to them the food at the right time, at the right season. The Lord Jesus Christ will take care of you. You know, we've had discovertheword.com up for more than 20 years now. And it costs thousands and thousands and thousands and umpteen thousands of dollars to do that. And I broke myself several times doing that. And I would buy cameras and recording media. Used to be cassettes and DVDs. And the DVDs were $1 or $10 a piece, actually, when they first came out. That was expensive. And the VHS tapes. We tried to do all this that we could. The oldest messages that I have on Sermon Audio and DTW or discovertheword.com are from VHS and reel-to-reel 8mm videos. They were very expensive. All the cassette tapes, all the reel-to-reel tapes that we've done, and I'm still doing from years past, costs a lot of money. And at times we were there at the point. I remember a year or two ago, I was coming up here to Nevada. I had no money to even get here. My car was full of gasoline, but I didn't know how I was going to get back. I had no food. And I had put all of my money in DTW. All of my money was there. I didn't have any in my pocket at all, because I wanted to keep that up more than anything else. I want to be a safe, faithful slave, because Jesus owns me. I got up here, and we have internet connection up here. It works really well. And I got on the internet, and I had a $100 donation. Aha, that'll get me back. And some food. A little bit. Because I put every dime I had into the website. The next day we had $1,000 from somebody I didn't even know. That helped. But we need help like that all the time. The funds are running out. Be a faithful servant. Try to be faithful like the Lord wants you to be faithful. We want to be faithful. We want to keep messages coming out to you, because we want to be a faithful servant, because we are bought and paid for slaves. And then it says in verse number 46, Kai makairios ho doulos, ekinos hon elthon ho, kurios auto, yerese hutos poionta. Now this is what I like. Makairos. Makairos means to laugh and be happy. The slave, the faithful slave, is very happy and smiling. He's smiling. Whom having come the Lord, the master of him, and he shall find him working. Working. If the Lord came back tonight, would he find you working? If he came back tomorrow, would he find you serving him, supporting him, praying, witnessing, doing the things that you should do? We need your help. The Lord needs your help. Wherever you are, serve the Lord the best you can that day, and he'll get you where you're supposed to be tomorrow. That's what we've done. 47. Amen lego himen hote epi pasen tois hiparkosen auto katastase auto. Truly I say to you all that over all the goods, that means everything that is every physical good. That means literally under having. Do you have something under your control? Do you have a house? Do you have an automobile? Do you have a bank account that's under your control? That's what it's talking about here. Now the Lord, we live in the church age right here. This is when Jesus died over here. We live in the church age. Jesus called his church out before he died on the cross of Calvary, and he gave it some work to do. Are you doing the work that the Lord gave you to do, that he gave that church? Are you worshiping him? Are you studying his word? Are you giving part of your life to him? How about your income? Are you giving part of your income to him? The more you give of your life, and your goods, this is a hiparkusen, that which you have control over, the more that you give to the Lord, the greater rewards that you will have. Now don't give it grudgingly, but give it smilingly. The goods of him belong to him, he shall appoint him. Verse number 48. Yonde epe ho kakos, doulos ekinos ente cardia autu chronise mu ho kurios. But he may say the evil slave. Now, this word evil, that means a wicked slave. That is a Adamic slave. That one, in the heart of him, he delays. My master. He's not going to come. My master's not going to come. So I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry and just do my own thing. How many of you have done that in your life? How many of you just walked away from the Lord sometimes and just did your own thing? How would you like to have the Lord come to you at that time? Now, we do get beatings in this life. When you're born again, you are born again, and you're the child of the king and all of that. And when we sin in this life, we pay for our sins here. We are punished here. Kai arkezete ti petain to sin dulos auto estie de kai pine metaton methutonte. And it may begin to strike the fellow slaves of him. And he may eat, and he may drink with the ones drug addicts. He's going to imbibe in drugs. Methamphetamine. That's where we get a word meth. Methamphetamines is from this word. Marilyn and I went a couple of days ago to the museum over there in Hawthorne, Nevada. One of the field trips that we're going to give. By the way, we will have seminars and things here in Nevada, and people will come. We will preach and we will teach, but in between that, we will go and look at things. We'll have what we call field trips. And that's one of them over there. Now, in the back of that museum, there was a sign, a poster there, And it had soldiers and carrying guns and things and shells. And it says, don't meth your life up. Don't meth, M-E-T-H, meth your life up. So many soldiers get involved in drugs. And this is the ones. Those unfaithful servants will become intoxicated. Pine. And they will become drunk. And they will run around with drunkards. Verse 50. Hexe ho kyrios tu adulo. Ekainu e en hemera he u. Pros doka kai en ora he u genoske. And he shall, the master of the slave, that one, in the day in which he did not expect, and in the hour in which he did not know, he's going to come. And verse number 51. Kai diko to mese, auton kai to meros, auto metaton hypocriton, these eke estai ho kletos, kai ho brekmos. Tone ho don't tone. Now, some people go to church just because it is a social gathering. Some people go to church just because it's the end thing to do in their neighborhood or their family. But they don't have any personal relationship with Jesus Christ, nor do they want any. Easy believism is the world in which we live. Easy believism. In other words, just come down here, join this church, and just go on doing what you're doing at any other time. Just now you're all right. I've had people tell me, I don't have any problems being saved. I can drink. I can do anything I want to. I can go on and do exactly what I did before. Why wouldn't I want to be saved? There's no change of life. There is no repentance. There is no what we call new birth. It's a new resurrection of life. Because you're changed. The new birth is a change of life. Some people in church have never found that. And he shall be cut to pieces, him, and the portion of him with the hypocrites. He shall place there, and it shall be the wailing and the grinding and gnashing of the teeth. Now let's go back and read this. And that's where we're going to finish today, this evening. 24. As were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For just as in those days before the flood, there were eating and there were drinking, men marrying and women being given in marriage until the very day when Noah went into the ark. Now, here in the world we live in, the one that I'm not very used to is we got men marrying men and we got women marrying women. It's worse now than ever was in the days of Noah. One preacher said one time, the Lord may have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah and those people in the day of Noah. No, he won't, because they got everything they deserved, and so shall we. And they did not know, understand, until the flood came and swept them all away. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man, imminent. We're talking about Genesis 6, 5 through 8 there, and 7 and 6 through 24. And at the time two men shall be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left behind. We're talking about the rapture now. Two women will be grinding at the handmill, and one will be taken and one shall be left behind. Watch, therefore, and give strict attention, and be cautious and active, for you do not know in what kind of day, whether near or remote, that your Lord is coming, imminent return of Christ. But understand this, that had the householder known in what part of the night, whether in the night or in the morning, watch, the thief was coming, he would have watched and wouldn't have not allowed his house to be undermined and broken through. You also must be ready, therefore, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful, thoughtful, and wise servant whom his master has put in charge of his household to give to the others the food and supplies at the proper time? Blessed and happy and fortunate to be envied is the servant whom, when his master comes, he shall find him so doing. Have you ever been out on a job and you were fooling around on that job, not doing what you're supposed to be doing, just fiddling around? And all of a sudden, out like out in the oil fields, you see dust coming down the road. And you wonder if that's a drilling superintendent. So you get already busy, and the other one said, the old driller says, get out there and stir up a little dust. Here comes the preacher, or here comes the drilling superintendent, that is. Have you ever had a preacher walk into your house and you had a Playboy on the magazine on there watching Playboy Channel or something on television? That's embarrassing, isn't it? You were falling down drunk, and here comes the preacher. Well, the Lord is more important than the preacher. I solemnly declare to you, he will set him over all his possessions, the one that's doing right. I guarantee you, you can't outgive the Lord. You can't outgive the Lord. You can't do it. But if the servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is delayed and is going to be gone a long time, and begins to beat his fellow servants. He was over people. I'm going to go back in history just a little bit right now. What did Jimmy Baker go to prison for? Did he go to prison for messing around with prostitutes? No. Did he go to prison for being unfaithful to his church? No. He went to prison because he was a thief. He purloined people's money. You see that out there on the television? Remember Oral Roberts? He used to get out there and said God threatened him, you've got to send him $6 million or he's going to die. We'll all die. He's gone now. Some of them went to prison. They went to prison because they stole God's money. He begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and to drink with the drunken. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and an hour of which he is not aware. I remember when I worked for a hydraulic company. I worked there 12 hours a day. And I'll guarantee you one thing. When I was there, I was working. I was watching 10 to 30 men at times, ordering every part that they need and making out all the bills and printing them and ordering the parts and taking care of those men. That was my job. No matter when the boss came around, I didn't need him. And he always knew one thing, that I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. But there were people there that were stealing. They were stealing from him. They were stealing. They were taking things that were not theirs, and they were selling things that were not theirs and hiding it. Those people finally got fired. My former boss begged me in every way in the world to come back. He said, whatever you need, I'll do it. And I said, no, I'm gone. I told him to go home and not come back for 6 months and make me general manager of that company. I said, you got problems. You got thieves here. You got people that are robbing you. I said, I'm making you tons of money. These people are robbing you. I said, I'm leaving today. If you don't make me general manager, let me take care of this problem, because it's you have a problem. He finally realized that about 6 months later, and he begged me to come back. He had to do what I told him to do. He became very unpopular for a while, but he got rid of all the nepotism and the thieves. And then he went on for a while. And I will punish him and cut him up by scourging and put him with the pretenders and the hypocrites, and there will be weeping and grinding of teeth. Yep. Going down the road. Going down the road. What are you doing today? Are you living with the hypocrites or are you living with the Lord's people? What are you doing? Are you out there and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You need to do it. Because that rapture right here can happen at any time. It's the rapture's coming back, and if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, when the rapture comes, you get to stay for the tribulation period. You get to be on the outside of that ark. You get to drown in terrible things. If you're the Lord's person, give your life to Him. Give of your funds, give of your life, give of your time to Him. Let Him have your life. Let Him have your belongings. You won't be wrong, and you won't be sorry. Our Father, we give to You this message for Your honor, for Your glory. And I pray for those out there. I pray for all of my students. Father, help them. Help those that sin faithfully, and encourage those that need to do that. And Father, just thank You for each and every one of them. Thank You for their love, for their prayers. I pray for them all over the world. New Zealand, the Philippines, and Australia, and Wales, and China, Africa. Those that are behind the Muslim curtain wall of darkness. Father, watch over all of them. Watch over those Marines that are over there from Camp Pendleton that used to listen to the message so faithfully. I pray that You protect them wherever they are, and that they hear Your word and they just glory in it, that they just can rest in Your love. Father,